Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Ms. Kev on stage, and I am joined by my husband and co-host.
NAACP Image Award nominated Kev on stage. We came in a close, not first. I don't know what the other people came in.
Yeah.
But we're still nominated. Nominated. We're grateful for the nomination.
Grateful for the nomination. I'm happy we celebrated. My initial plan was to do the celebration the day of. Mm-hmm. I almost think it was better that we celebrated just the journey and what that meant instead of tying it to a win.
Absolutely. I was thinking that. I know that was the initial plan, but I wouldn't have had time. The way that was, like, watching it and being a part of it, I wouldn't have had time to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think celebrating like that allowed us to enjoy it, and it was so much better.
Yeah, I agree.
I wouldn't have cried. I cried with a baby for 22 minutes. That was a television episode of tears.
Yes, and for anybody wondering, I did, we hired a videographer because I knew I wasn't gonna be able to do everything, so I will have a full length vlog of that day for those who are not in the Patreon and couldn't see like the whole entire setup. Shout out to the stage crew too. They stayed with us.
They did, man.
Tuesdays are our filming day. I filmed, Kel filmed, and then they stayed with us basically all night. And so shout out to you guys. Super, super appreciative of just the support. So anyway, we're gonna get into today's Love Hour. We have two very special guests. We have it's Harper Nelson, right? I want to make sure I'm respectful of the name, okay?
Yeah.
So we have Ms. Dawn Harper Nelson, Olympic gold medalist. We have her adoring husband, Alonzo Nelson. I've deemed you mathematician because if you teach math, there's no way you're not.
Fair. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Mr. mathematician, listen, and an athlete in his own right. So listen, we just gonna kind of get straight to it. We gonna backpedal a little bit. Before I do that, I will allow you guys to just introduce yourselves and give us your love story. How did you guys meet? The engagement. This is always my favorite part of a conversation anyway, because couples never have the same, they never have the same memory.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yes, my name is Dawn Harper Nelson, Olympic gold and silver medalist. And yes, I am the wife to the wonderful Alonzo Nelson. So my side of the story.
The correct side, I'm assuming.
Tell her right. Come on, she
tell
started,
right.
Exactly.
Tell her right.
So no, we met in the eighth grade. I love to say this part. I can't stand you. I was the only, did you see it? He was like the eye. So no, we met in eighth grade. I was the only girl. And so they put me in the boys race. We lined up. He was the only boy to beat me. I literally was furious. I was like, who is that? I don't like him. Tell him, line it up again. And from there, we actually became really good friends. And you know, I kind of had my friends like, hey, go ask him if he think I'm cute. You know what I mean? Like kind of throw my girl, like corner him like, hey, you think my friend cute in the corner over there? So that type of thing, nervous to talk to him. But we actually never dated. We were just really good friends. And I kind of dated his best friend in high school, but that was a whole nother.
What do you mean kind of? No, you either did or you didn't, Dawn Harper Nelson. You can't kind of date his best friend in high school.
Nobody.
You're trying to slide that in like you reneged. You was trying to sneak that club in when you were supposed to play a club.
Right. He caught me. I kind of just dated him for 4 years. So then we're into college, but no, we were really good friends. Honestly, he's always been that friend that we always say we held each other accountable, right? He was my cute friend, Lonzo. When he came around, I was like, oh my God, here comes Lonzo. Here he comes. I was like, oh, what's up, Lonzo? Like, hair behind the ear, what's up? And then as we got older, I remember, so I have Dawn Harper Day in the state of Illinois, it's October 6th. So I was coming in town to do events and stuff. And I was on a run, and he saw me go on a run. Was this the same day?
No, this was in 2010.
See, it gets jumbled up.
See, I'm the sentimental person, so I remember dates and times and all of that stuff.
So, ladies, it's not always us. It's them sometimes.
That's so, Kevin, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
Eyes, though.
Right. So I do remember, though, I was going on a run one day, and I saw him. And for me, if I'm at track practice, I'm very, like, serious about what I'm doing. So I was running in the park, and I had to run a certain time. I was tired, and he pulls the car up, and I'm like, oh, what's up, Lonzo? Like, I'm like, what? And he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, bruh, like, I'm in the middle of practice, right? So he wanted to talk. I told him I couldn't, call me later. We never talked, so a whole year goes by. Then that's right. Then it was Don Harper Day on October 6th. Right. He sent me a random message the day before. And he's like, hey, do you think you could squeeze my school in to come and speak? And I was like, yeah. They didn't have anything together. So he goes to the school like, yo, she coming. I didn't know she was going to say, yeah, we got to get some stuff together. And I do remember, seriously, when I saw him, it was really like, you know, like your heart is like, oh my God, like, it's Lonzo. Like, it was really a moment of like, I still really like this dude. Like, my breath is real, like, it's kind of shallow right now. This is crazy. I ain't seen this dude in this long, and he's really still doing this to me.
I was like, for real? Okay.
And so I remember going and talking to his students, and it was one girl in particular. She really kind of poured out her heart of like, you know, Mrs., you know, at the time, Mrs. Harper, like, when you like a boy in school, like, he doesn't like, what should I do? And really going into depth about this boy. So I kind of told her, I said, well, there was a guy that I liked in high school that I felt like I kind of wanted to date, but things did, you know, line up. And they was like, oh, Mr. Nelson, oh, Mr. Nelson. And so he said for the rest of the day, his students was like, all we want to talk about is what happened between y'all. Like, we don't care nothing about math. We want to talk about that. So the twist of all this is his mother ends up coming up to the school because I had gotten his little brother some Nike gear. And she came to say thank you. And her joke in high school was, if we ever got together, our kids would be little puffs of smoke.
Right.
And so she's, I know, right? You find yourself.
It was cute to her, but I was like,
wow, we were always like,
because we both dark skin. Thanks. Okay.
Are you talking about the chocolateness?
Why? Because they were fast.
No, that would be better. I knew that was
because it is right here.
I was like, why nobody liked that? Y'all, because y'all were so fast. I thought that was the
so you went to the sweet side.
Prior generations are why we're in therapy.
And so when she made that comment, Alonzo says it was some look
she kind of perked up. So when my mom made that comment, Don perked up, and I was like, oh, for real?
Like, he was like, it's something still there.
But like, there was other things that were going on along that visit that let me know that I had a chance, right? And so, you know, as she comes into the school, I was ushering her in, and I touched the small of her back, and she was just kept walking. I was like, oh, okay. And then she made the comment about her liking me in high school to my students. So I was like, oh, okay, shit. And then when my mom made that comment again, we was on the stairwell. Don like kind of perked up, like she agreed, and I was like, oh,
he's like, that's all I need to know.
I'm gonna shoot all the shots tonight.
So he basically sent this long. Well, I sent the long.
He sent the text message of
I've always, basically, like, this is how I feel. You know, that letter that you want to get from the dude of like, back in the day, this is what, and I should have, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I just literally, I put me too. It was like, oh my God, I said it.
These are the things that I was going to say to her the last, like in 2010, when I pulled over to the side of the road and I saw like, her running with the girls. And I spent that whole year like, dang, I knew I should have just messed up my church shoes and ran with her and like, because I can't let her go. So, but
he did that, and honestly, from that day forward, we kind of
talked every single night day. Since then,
and but the one thing I will say is, my mother, when he proposed that day, she was giving me all the hints of, "Hey, get your hair together," because I was like, I had just washed my hair, but I didn't like finish the whole blow dry and do it, and I'm like, oh, I got to go for a run this morning. I'm like, I'll do it afterwards, and she's like, literally, she was like, you sure you don't want to touch it up? And I'm like, nah, I'm going on a run. Like, what do I need to get cute for? I'm going to sweat. And she's like, okay, I came back. And she's like, you want to put on an outfit? And I'm like, nah, I'm putting on sweats. Like, she kept, and I'm like, I'm kind of a tomboy at heart. So she's like, Dawn, like, get yourself together. Something's coming today. Right. Yeah. And I was like, nah. And so he came over. Like, I had a rag on my head.
But before all of that, so there's even more to that, right? And so I had already made these plans with her mom and her sister. So they already knew that it was going to be recorded and I was going to propose on this day. And so that morning, Dawn was talking to her mom and she's like, Mom, you know what? Lonzo didn't ask me what I wanted for Christmas. Cause this is on Christmas Eve, right? And her mom, like she kind of like deflected the whole conversation down.
Cause like, he's the type of guy that's like, hey, baby, what are the things you like? Yeah. And it just didn't say it. And I remember thinking, like, leading up to it, I was like, that's mad random.
Cause we had this bet that when I proposed, she wouldn't know.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, whenever I propose, I was like, I'm telling you, I know you. You gonna like, you can't hide from me.
Yeah. And so when she goes on her run, her mom calls me in a panic, like, she knows you messed up. She knows you're gonna propose. doesn't know yet, just calm down. And then
no, I didn't know because I looked a mess in that recording. I'm to this day, like whenever he like, I'm like, don't play that. Like the shirt, like it's a red and white striped shirt. I have that. I listen, and I don't even understand. He said, he's trying to console me to this day, and I'm like, just thank you for still asking me to marry you because I look crazy. My God. Like,
hey, so, but like, the way the proposal went was like, I lived in East St. Louis. I was in East St. Louis teaching, and Dawn was training out of LA. So she just was coming back and forth in town. And so we were already doing the long distance thing dating. And so Christmas Eve, I had made her, I made this book with like pictures from like our first year of dating. And at the end of the book, I had like the proposal, like, I don't want to be your friend no more. Will you marry me? Yeah. Right. And I also got her like a box of her favorite like snacks that she could only get from Chicago airport. Yeah. Right. And so she went through all of that stuff. And then when she got to the end of the book, I get down on a knee.
I'm like, why he moving?
And and I couldn't move from that. When she said, yeah, so I was like,
I go like, yes.
And I was like,
yes. And he's not, I'm like, yeah, I was like, yes. Like,
I was like, you got to put it on because I'm going to fall over if I move from this position, I'm going to fall over.
He was so nervous.
I said yes.
Right. I'm like, you were sitting there like, oh my, I don't understand what's happening. I thought the moment was you put the ring on.
I was like, this is all I got for you.
I was like, Mom, she's like, that's why I was trying to tell you to get dressed up. And then, so even through our marriage, what we lived apart marriage-wise for six years. When he lived in Illinois and I lived in LA.
From 13 to
17.
We
just went back and forth.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we said we were blessed financially that
every 3 weeks.
At least 3 weeks. 3 weeks, somebody on the plane. Somebody on the plane. Because the reality is, we married, it was a mission. Get on their flight. Get on their flight. Plane booking, but the understanding was during track season he has to be traveling because of demand on my body. Like I can't get on a plane,
you just
can't
sit on there for four hours, just ain't cut,
and then get on the track and think you're gonna kill it and injure yourself. So during track season,
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, because think about him.
You're an Olympic level athlete. I also ran track. Melissa ran track, and I was at the meet. You know what I'm saying? I would carry her. You know, you take her sweats off at the, you know, at the 100. I would collect those. Walk down. As soon as she done, I got your sweat.
Right.
I got you. I realized that you had to. Anyway, you're an Olympic gold medalist. You got to think about sitting on a plane and what that does to your legs and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
It helped that I ran track too, though, right? Because I wasn't like, man, why you ain't coming? Why I always got to fly out? You know what I mean? But like, I understood the whole grind and the whole struggle. And so during her season, I always went out there. And like, you know, St. Louis weather versus Los Angeles weather, I'm saying?
That ain't a hard sell anyway.
No.
I know. I can only imagine long distance relationships. We haven't covered long distance relationships in the podcast. That's definitely something we should cover. And I'm sure during those times you're mailing things back and forth. And if you're a business owner and you want to mail things to your consumers or your customers or your clientele, you can do that with
ShipStation.
Boom. Y'all didn't even see the ad coming.
That build up.
ShipStation is the place where a platform that you use to sell and integrate all of the platforms in which you are selling things, whether that's on Etsy, Amazon, your own website,
Shopify. We linked ours with our Shopify.
Correct. Kevin was just selling the stage crew windbreakers, which everyone has gotten, I believe. Really? So yeah, I only got most people have gotten them thus far. And we
day one shirt is almost done with the design. Patreon, check Patreon a little bit later. I'm gonna show y'all
the day. I didn't see the design.
It ain't come in yet.
Oh, hello. All right. But when they're here, what are you going to use to ship them?
I'm going
to
use ShipStation, baby.
Yes, you can get discounts, amazing discounts from major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, and USPS. You can easily compare carriers and the rates. We use ShipStation because we sell our own merch and we use Shopify. And it's just easier for us to get cheaper rates and understand exactly what's going on with the analytics and everything that's going on with our business. Ship more in less time. Just use my offer code LOVE.
LOVE.
To get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com. One more time. Just go to ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page and type in LOVE.
LOVE.
That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code LOVE.
LOVE.
Make ship happen. And thanks so much to ShipStation for being a consistent sponsor of Love Our Podcast. All right. First of all, everyone is saying that they absolutely love. I love engagement.
Y'all got top three love stories.
Yeah, this is really fun. But you never said years. So when did you choose?
We were just rambling. So eighth grade is 1998.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
So you guys graduated in 2002, high school?
Oh, two, yeah. Mm-hmm. Class 02.
Yeah, they're only a year after. We started high school in 97. They said eighth grade.
Okay. Wait, 99, 2000, we was in 10th grade though. So, that's going to 2000.
Yeah, 97, 98, right. 98, 99, 99, 2000, depending on when that was happening. Okay. Continue. Because that was the whole math. He's a mathematician teacher.
I know, I love what
all you have to do is subtract one.
I know. Well, I was thinking of I was thinking in 99, I always think of 11th grade. Because I'm thinking we're in 11th grade, y'all are in 8th grade, but 99.
We in the 9th grade, yeah.
Yeah, we could have been 9th grade. Oh, no, because you said 98.
Right, so I started with 10th
grade. So that's where you got to carry the one.
Yeah.
It's that Common Core. That Common Core always be.
You y'all said you can't.
But you didn't get Common Core.
So, no, don't. Come on, man. You know, I've been helping myself with the Common Core, and that's why they got the reproofing. They got the reproofing. It was the integers, really. Anyway, so in 1998, y'all was in 4th grade. What happened?
So, yeah, we was in the 8th grade in 98. We graduated in 02. Like, she talked about, she talked about I being a cute friend. Dawn was the homegirl that came first, like, before anybody, right? I remember in college, I was chilling with my...
Hold on. Y'all are each other's friends that your boyfriend and girlfriend probably hated.
Absolutely. Like his girlfriend was like on site. And I was like, who me?
Absolutely.
And she loved me.
Absolutely. So here's a story.
Let him tell it. Right?
So look, we in 11th grade. Remember that best friend that she with? My best friend that she with?
Yes. Go back to that.
My best friend who she's dating, we played basketball together. We was on a basketball team together and a track team together, right? And so the 11th grade, my girlfriend from another high school.
Is this staticky in here?
From another high school comes to watch me play, right? And so doing warm-ups, Dawn and her teammates gonna confront her like, oh, so you the girl friend or whatever. Like your new little dip. And I'm warming up, and I legit have to go into the stands. Like, come on, dog.
I was just trying to. I was like, "Hey, sis."
No.
High five.
No.
The energy was not, "Hey, sis."
But let me. So the part that I will say, I do apologize for. Not that, but I do apologize for is how he found out I was talking to his best friend.
Oh yeah, that's
so.
Let's talk about this, Don.
Let me tell it.
I want to hear his point of view because you ain't gonna tell the truth, Don. You ain't gonna tell it.
Yeah. So look, this is the 10th grade, actually.
It's
11th grade. It's the beginning of 11th grade, right? And so I'm over my best friend's house. We playing video games. We playing like WWE or something like that, right? And I'm playing by myself. He over in the corner on the phone giggling. I was like, yo, what you giggling about? What's so funny? He's like, oh, I'm talking to Dawn. I was like, my stomach dropped, right? And I was like, oh, for real? I was like, let me get the phone. I was like,
hold on, Lonzo. She was kicking?
They
were kicking,
dog.
Oh, I thought it was kicking.
I didn't know Lonzo was over there. So he said he was over like kind of in the corner. So when Lonzo literally he gets on the phone, he like, hello, like my stomach drops. I'm like, not like, like honestly, he was the one. Like real talk. Yeah. Lonzo was like that dude that if I could keep this secret to the day that we get together, secret. And yeah. I just remember being like, yo, it's over. It was like, yo, it's over. It's over.
Hey, but like the reality was she was like, she tired of waiting on me.
Because I knew we had a conversation with him.
And I told her, I was like, look.
So this is what was mature about
it. So here's the thing. Dawn ain't one, like there was no reason for me, there was not going to be a reason for me to break up with her, right?
He said he wasn't.
And I'm in high school. I just came into, I started getting popular in the 10th grade. So like everybody starting to notice me. And I can't handle all of that. You know what I mean? I'm waving at everybody. I'm talking to everybody. I'm friendly with everybody. And I was like, look, I ain't gonna be no reason to break up with her. So I don't want to hurt her like that. I got most flirtatious when we graduated from high school. So I wasn't gonna be no good. But, yeah, you know, so.
But honestly, when we really like talked about it, when we got older, I told him, I was like, that was so mature. Cause he really did. He was kind of like, I know I'm not ready for this. And he's like, he said, if we ever do end up together in the future, he's like, I don't want us to have all this baggage. Yeah, no, you know, to meet him just no not being ready. But at the time, I'm like, you childish. You know what I'm saying? I'm so mad. But like, honest to God, we don't have that baggage because he was mature enough. And I was like, you know what? Okay, shed my tears and then just move on. And look at us now. Yeah. We can laugh about it. Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
How long have you guys been married?
Eight years on the 23rd. March 23rd.
Yep.
It was that our anniversary is March the 23rd.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a fun story.
Oh, great.
I'll
never forgive Dawn for what she just did. But I'm glad it worked out. Lonzo, I appreciate you, brother. You hold your head high, bro.
It was hard. Hey, it was hard because I took an L. That was an L.
Back.
But Jabelle, listen, I actually appreciate, because we just talked about this in The Bald and the Beautiful, about men who aren't ready to be in committed relationships. And as they're maturing, they're hurting their wife's heart, crushing her heart, her feelings, having her go through all this unnecessary trauma. Mm-hmm. So good for you that you were able to recognize, like, I'm not gonna put you through that. Like, that's unnecessary. Because we'll, you know, it's unfair, to be honest. So with that said, let's fast forward. So you guys got married at 8 years ago. What, math?
2013.
Yeah, that's what I was just coming to that same.
First of all,
full credit. You get full credit for that.
I showed my work. So y'all anniversary hadn't happened yet this year.
No, March 23rd, it just happened.
March the 23rd.
So wait, how's that 8 years? That's 9 then. Because 13,
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Well, 13 don't count though, remember? Right, 13, 14 is the first year.
Oh, because y'all carried that one early.
I had a count on my head.
First anniversary ain't till 2014.
Right.
Right, okay. You know, I've never been good at math. I thought I was going to say when I was young, I don't know how y'all was coming to the same answer.
That confidence.
Years always mess me up, man. Well, because years don't be right.
It's because you start in 2013, you're adding 8, and we're in 2021. It's just
that's what I'm saying. That's why I got caught up.
You need people like that. We got married at 15, we've been married for 5 years. That's easy.
Right. Once you cross over on the both sides.
Yeah, it's getting bad.
I'm telling you, we got the divided multiple. I'm talking about addition.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
So the 2 plus the 2. Now y'all, everybody got 4? All right.
Ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. Ask
them
if they get 4.
Listen, my son was had needed a tutor. He was talking about imaginary numbers. I said, what y'all?
Our oldest son, we don't know how. I don't know if it's God's grace or God or a curse. He's in pre-calculus in 9th grade.
Oh,
like, depending on how you look at it, so good or why?
That was the end for me and Melissa. The last math we took was pre-cal.
I was in 12th grade when I took pre-cal. Right. This boy was doing imaginary numbers. I said out loud, well, if it's imaginary, why are we talking about
it? What are we even doing here? We got bills. Y'all were talking about
next exponent.
The Bible says to put childish things behind. I'm an adult. I'm a grown-up with bills and responsibilities. I'm not talking about imaginary numbers.
You know what, though?
I put my toenail in here, and I thought it was this water, and I just drank my toenail back. It's like, why is this water warm?
Oh.
it during the love hour because I didn't want it to make noise when it hit the trash can.
I'm so sorry. Your episode is
guys, that happened to me. Oh my god.
I'm surprised you can even drink more water.
I need the electric taste on that.
The electric
taste. I just got out of the shower.
What does that have to do with anything?
I mean, at least my feet ain't dirty.
Oh.
All right, so we was talking about long division. Or what happened?
Okay, right here.
Like, this is a sidebar conversation, but a couple of years ago, I had a discussion with, like, some friends of mine about the math that math
teaches. I still see you drinking that.
It's okay.
This is the other one. This is the other one. I threw the toenail one away. This is the one I thought I was drinking.
I'm surprised he's drinking. I would be done.
We're moving on. Something happens, I gotta just move on.
I would be thirsty the rest of the day. I could not force my toe.
Thank you.
This is like that moment at church where everybody's shouting and the pastor starts singing a slow song.
Yes.
So everybody refocused us.
Like, wait, what happened? We were just in praise. Okay, go ahead. Finish your story.
But yeah, we talked about the fact that, like, a lot of the math that we teach now is, like, it's irrelevant when you become an adult, right? They know all this intricate stuff, but they can't buy a car. They don't know about loans. They don't know about buying houses. They don't know about any of those things, right? And so, like, that's one thing that I really push and make sure I teach, you know? But, like, yeah, let's keep going.
I got sent, and we're going to get right back to your love story. Two things I want to say. One, I told my pre-Cal teacher, me and Melissa took this math together, I asked to drop the class.
I did.
And he wouldn't let me. And I was like, I'm never going to use this math again. So why? And he sent me the detention. But since then, I haven't used it. And my youngest son was like, why are they teaching me about this math?
Yeah.
I should be learning about credit, bills, taxes, things that I'm actually going, that we need doggone, I don't know what the term is, but like, at practical math.
Yes.
Math that's going to affect your life.
Math applied to life.
Yes. Like, that's more than imaginary numbers to me.
Hey, so what's so funny and ironic is those students that are not good enough to take pre-calculus and calculus actually do take practical math, and it's called applied math. They make them take
that. I think I turned up just now.
So it's out there.
Funny side story.
I know how to count though. My brand, you feel me? I'll never mess that count up, but also I do. Sometimes I'm like, back to y'all love story. How did y'all not have sex for 3 weeks at a time?
No, that's not where we're at. Got to answer for long distance vote. But the real question I wanted to get into, well, listen, while we're talking about math, clearly none of us are really good at it, but one program that is really great at it is Honey.
Oh, why? Yeah, baby.
Scours the internet for you. And she's like, hey girl, let me take 10% off. Don't worry about the math calculations. I'll do it for you. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and apply the best one at your cart or in your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from tech to gaming to fashion to food delivery. Joshua has used it on home decor stuff when he moved into his home. I have used it on fashion stores, most definitely. And again, they do all of the work for you. They do the math for you. And then they just apply the coupon at checkout. If you don't already have Honey, you could straight up be missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I never recommend something I don't use, which is true.
Let me...
Get Honey.
We'll talk about that more later.
Okay, get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/love.
Love.
That's joinhoney.com/love.
Love.
All right.
Is the ad over?
Yes.
Melissa, really, I want y'all to know this for all ads. She turned down everything. If she doesn't use it for real, I'd be like, what? Women's underwear? I know a woman who has a butt. It needs to be covered. Get women's underwear. I don't care. Give me the money. Unless it goes against my moral values. But Melissa be like, if I don't want to personally use this, I won't do the ad. So she is absolutely telling the truth. If it ain't real, if she don't use it, we don't do the ads on this. Now, here's the thing. How much is it? Yes. Weapons of mass destruction. Are you looking to overthrow a government? We have nuclear warheads.
That's my
BlackMarketWeapons.com has sponsored this episode.
That's stupid. Greg, throw this in. Tiki on our Patreon says she has used Honey and got a 25% off coupon. So that's cool. I love testimonials too. All right. Let's for real get to the real thing. Okay. Okay, so you guys got married in 2013.
See.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then which Olympics did you go to?
So I've been 08 and 12.
So 08 and 12. So this is before you got married.
Yes, but we were dating in 12. Yeah. So he went to the Olympics with me in 12. Yeah. And then the thing, had a ton of world championships and national, like we've been overseas a number of times afterwards.
Diamond League championships and everything like that.
How long were y'all dating prior to being married?
One year.
Yep.
Officially, one year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we knew each other. So it wasn't like, so who's your mom? How are your people? It was like, I grew up with them.
Yeah.
So that was.
Go ahead.
No, I just said that part was different for us because we had that background.
Yeah, that's nice, actually. Okay. So 2012, you guys go to the Olympics.
Yes.
But I want you guys to tell the story. So I'm going to just lead it in. When is the Olympics that you both tried out for?
It was eight.
2008. Okay, so walk us through that.
All right, so I'll tell my story and then you can tell your beautiful story, right? So we graduated in 06, right? I went to SEMO, which is in the Midwest.
I was UCLA, Elite Eight, go on.
My story. And so when I graduate, her coach, Bobby Kersey, they're friends of my family. Jackie Joyner grew up with my dad and all my uncles and stuff. And so for my graduation gift, he invited me out to LA and he's like, do you want to stay out here and train? And I was like, sure. I ain't doing nothing. I just graduated from college. I'm not walking to no job. I wanted to chase this dream. So I started training with their group. And so it was, and as I'm training, long story short, I'm like one place away from making the cut for the Olympic trials, right? And so even still, I keep training because now I am the training partner of Allison Felix and all of them. And so I'm running side by side with them and helping them run. And
So then now for me, you know, I graduated from UCLA. Bobby was the coach the assistant coach at UCLA. Now he's my professional coach back in 2006 when I graduated, now 2008. I actually ended up having knee surgery February 29th, leap year, 2008. And so it was really looking real bleak. I had no contracts. I was working four jobs. I mean, I was really just believing in myself when there was no reason to. Like, if you looked at all of the odds, it was like, girl, go get you a job. Like, you got a degree, go get a job. And my father actually said that. And the other girls in my training group, so only three make the Olympic team. The three top hurdlers for the U.S. at the time were in my group. They had these bomb Nike contracts, like they name on their gear, riding Benz, new Benz, BMW. I'm like, and I'm riding the old car my dad got me, you know, just that whole journey of like staying on the grind, right?
Yeah.
And so I had my knee surgery, end up coming back, just literally day by day, inch by inch, working back, and just really believing that you just got to make top three at the Olympic trials. And so all the other hurdlers, two of them end up getting like hurt randomly, then the other one goes, she doesn't make it, and then I get third at the Olympic trials. They take three. So when I cross the line, you know, it's really just like you still have this moment of like, everybody stop. What?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the fans literally are going, just imagine it being deafening from how loud people are screaming. Right. And then you're realizing like, yo, they cheering for you. Like, this is crazy. You're going to wear those three letters on your chest. Like, what you dreamed of, what you prayed for, what you sacrificed for. And so I remember doing my victory lap.
I was in the stands. I was there. So, I was like, done.
And
done.
I was like, that's a hot dog.
You did it. I should have threw that hot dog down. I had just bought it, though, and I was hungry. I should have threw the hot dog down and jumped the fence and gave her a hug. But
he would have been tackled because you can't come on a track.
Yeah, but like, that would have been a great memory.
It would have been a great memory.
So yeah, so then, you know, made the team, and then I go on to go to the Olympics, you know, and win. So that 2008 was
Okay, so one of the things that's super interesting is that this means you're both kites.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I think you guys both consider yourself super dreamers. So if you're both kites, but one of you is not able to, like, their dream isn't being realized.
Yeah.
How does that impact you guys? Like, at this time, are you, you guys aren't dating though. You guys are just friends. Mm-hmm.
Just friends. So yeah. 2012, I think, would be the best example of the kite and string kind of situation. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you still have been training a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, after 2012, I was still training.
He was still wanting to, but then he just realized earlier on, like, you know, that, like, this isn't going
to
work. So he
was in the cards for me to make the Olympic team. And,
so,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
With this reference, he basically then decided to be the kite, you know, and said, I'm going to do other things, you know, career-wise. And so him training. So when he actually came to the Olympics, it's funny because when we were dating, I felt like, because I knew how demanding my job was and I knew what I would need from him to be so selfless. And I needed him to do that without me questioning, like, yo, is this too much for you? Like, I needed him to, I needed to ask something. And sometimes when I'm in the heat of it, it's like, y'all need my water. Like, that can be like, who are you talking to? You know, if you want to take it that way. But you know, they're like, yo, my race go off in 5 minutes. I don't have time to be like, Alonzo, babe, my water, that's right. Like, yo, can you get my water? Like, you know, like that type of.
I need my water fast, because, you know, you're just operating at such a high level. You can't, you know, when I was playing intramural basketball in college, sometimes there would be people who used to play basketball on the team. And I'd be like, lift, I need my water. And I don't have time. I don't have time.
And she said,
out of her. I am training to be a pickup basketball legend.
There you go. That exists. Hey, y'all see Kev at that playground over there?
It's stupid.
I have a question.
Wait. Were they finished?
No. So what I was going to say with that part was that because I knew that my job would be so demanding, those types of things from him, when the roles needed to be reversed, I made a conscious decision to, I mean, like, engulf myself. Like, whatever you doing, hey, what you need, like,
but here's the thing,
because
though.
No, because I knew my what I required from him would be for such a long period of time. I'm saying I want to continue to chase my dream now in this marriage, even. And I know I'm going to move home to Illinois, so you stay there in Illinois while I keep chasing this dream away from your wife. You signed up for this, but you saying, you know, you signed up for at least 6 more years of not being under the same roof 24/7, like all of that.
But technically, when we got married, it's only about 3 more years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, but give the overall. Into, You know, but just saying that I knew for the majority of the year, I would be looking at you like, I need this from you, and I don't really need a question of, is this too much? Is this, I'm like, you know what it takes for me to be great. And so off season would come, it would be almost 2 months long. When I came home, when I tell you the hat that I would switch, I would be like, I am your team.
Whatever you like.
Like, you know, because I just needed him to understand, like, that I appreciate you, I support you, and he has so much going on back home.
Like, to answer your question, remember you was like, how do you not have sex for 3 weeks and all of that stuff?
Here we go.
Well, look, I got busy. I was like, I'm finna join this organization, that organization, start this. I'm gonna be teaching and coaching, and I was a choir director. I was out there, you know what I mean? And that kept that, because the Idle Mind is a double workshop, right? And so one thing, I got myself busy, but then I also connected with other married brothers that understood it, right? So one of my good friends at that time, his wife was doing her residency, right? And so she spent a lot of time away from the house as well. So we would go golf together. We would do all kinds of things together. And that kept me sane, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the other caveat, though, is for me to be, I wanted to be the best string possible, because her job was in front of the world, right? And so people know that, all right, Dawn is dating Alonzo. And if there's a decline in her performance, it got something to do with their new relationship.
Because I'm rolling before we get it, all right? Like, absolutely. You put your money going, you know what I'm saying? And so he said,
and then once you put that name, now she married?
Yeah.
There better not be a decline, right? And so, like, I was like, hey, your success is my success, because you wearing my, they, when ESPN say Dawn Harper Nelson won the Continental Club Cup, be like, you see that Nelson right there? That's me. I did that, you know what I'm saying? So that's the other motivation. Like, I wanted to make sure that I was doing my part in supporting her and helping her chase her dream and not being awake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And really quick in this part, it was definitely a difference, because, you know, I've dated guys before, and, you know, you got to do a red carpet where the red carpet stuff, they asked me to come, right? And you coming with me, but they asked if we just gonna be real plain. And like, can Dawn Harper come at the time? Can Dawn Harper come? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, of course you can bring a plus one. I'm like, cool. I'm gonna bring this guy that I'm serious with. And
I get to go shopping.
Yeah.
First of all, you get on my nerves. I did, like years ago, I did one red carpet I'll never forget with a guy before. And I totally felt like he was on my arm. I totally felt like when I need to do interviews and step away and they're like, cause you know, you talking and eventually they're like, no, you stay there. They're telling the guy, you stay there. Dawn, come forward. Can we? And it was like, I'll be back. I promise. Like, can you stand here alone? Are you okay? You know, and then I get done and I'm looking like, oh, that interview was longer. Like, are you all right? But with Lonzo, he was like, go, boo. He was like, look, right. I was like, what,
yes.
I felt like I was on his arm. And I'm like, it was so crazy to feel like, yo, you know, you can hold your own. It was so attractive. It was very much of like, yo, you're a man. Like that understands, like this is your lane, boy. I get it. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So that was definitely, you know, something that helped me really like understand that he understood.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Go ahead, Chloe.
What?
You had a question.
He answered it.
Okay. I was gonna say that I think that one thing that's like kind of a thread that's coming through for me, or a theme is probably a better word that's coming through, is the level of selflessness that you guys have for each other. And it breeds love instead of contempt.
Yeah.
And contempt is often stemmed from competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys feel like you are partners in this and not that there's like, again, that because also it can breed resentment. Did I say that already?
You did.
Okay, good. Sounds very good. This sounds, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to see and hear you guys talk about it, because I actually was just thinking the other day, I want to do an episode on relationships where you feel like you're in competition with one another. Mm. And the fact that you guys, and there's a beautiful sense of, I'm willing to give all of me so that you can succeed, and still giving you, I don't feel depleted.
Yes.
Yes. That's what's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's honestly something I prayed for, because I knew the things that I wanted in life. And I, especially earlier on, when I saw it, like, okay, I saw Jackie be on the Kersey train. And then you have people, mentors talk to you and they're trying to express to you, like, I don't know how else to say this to you, Dawn, but if you want to be successful, they're almost like, either don't enter a relationship, or if you do, like, good luck, because you're not, almost like you're not going to find someone.
She had one guy tell her, if you want to be successful, you can't have sex at all.
He's like,
I was like, don't talk to him ever again. The devil is alive. Because that's what's not going to happen.
Why would you give that advice?
Because that frustration, in boxers, they do that. Boxers don't be having sex a lot of times during training camp to have extra testosterone.
No, yeah, he wasn't like training. He was almost like, if you're going to run like in your career. And I'm like, well, now, sir, listen, first of all, didn't ask
for unsound it. Advice.
Didn't ask for it. So he said it was like
unsolicited.
Unsolicited, unsound.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, that was very much so like, okay, I don't know how to hang up fast enough. Like, this is weird and random.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was random. I don't even know where he was about to go with that one. But yeah.
I don't either. But yeah, super random. Clearly, that's not the case. I don't know.
Right.
People just be talking. They just talk well, but like, shut up.
Yeah. And you're doing way too much. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Way too much. All right.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Okay, Kev, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think it's super dope, Alonzo, that you, a lot of men, we were just watching the Tina Turner documentary last night.
Crazy.
And Ike Turner, on top of being verbally and domestic, physically abusive, his main issue was he was insecure about her success. Mm-hmm. He couldn't fathom her being successful without him. And that's what, you know, angered him. And it's dope to see, especially someone you love who is in your field.
Yes.
Right? To be able to still be supportive and not turn to, you know, anger or frustration, you know. You know, she's, you know, that, and it's just dope, because you don't, we always see that narrative, women giving up, supporting, sacrificing for men. We very rarely see the reverse, men equally as happy to do the same for women. I think that's such a dope example for men to see, like, bro, you know, you can be supportive to your wife, for your wife, let her shine, and her success being your success. I think that's a great sentiment. You know, I always tell Melissa, and I tell the stage crew all the time, there is going to come a day where Melissa is far more famous and sought after and in demand than me, right? The moment she's working closely to it.
I don't know that I even want that.
But it's going to happen. And I'd be like, bro, go. Because we should be our wives' first cheerleader, biggest. Mm-hmm. Like, let me be your assistant. Let me be your adjutant. If she like her, she like this tea, she like her warmer, you know, she don't want to be bothered. She's done that for me.
You need some water?
No, I'm just drinking nothing. She's done that for me for so long without question, without spot or wrinkle. I'll be happy to do that. And oftentimes we reverse, you know, roles, or, you know, do you feel like that, or did I just make it up?
That's right.
Yeah. But I think
it was the check-in.
Yeah, because I don't want to be lying on the love hour. But, you know, I think we should easily.
We all love, right?
Without feeling, you know, like that takes away from anything that we do. You know what I mean? Like, Ike was dumb. He should have stuck with Tina, but him being. Listen, she had her best years outside of you. Now you're the dude who was married.
And that's right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that dude that was, hey, after she blew up, this was the guy she was dating before she blew up. It's like, no, that's not cool. I'm not going to be that person.
Don't get to go on first class. If you right. First class, just make sure they, all I ask for this, make sure they book 2 first class tickets. You don't need 1 king bed in the suite. You ain't got to book a separate room.
But then there's the mindset, you know, that people have of, if you are going to be the spouse of the one that's successful. Lonzo said he had guys telling him, like, yo, like, why are you still working? Like, she good. She got y'all.
Like, no, because, like, the more money we bring in, like, I'm adding to what we making.
And you then know? My favorite thing he said, he told the dude, was like, that's why she married to me and not y'all. Like, because that's not.
Listen, I love that.
Like, yeah. That's 100% facts. We were just having this conversation, like, at the night of the NAACP. We've been together for a long time, and I still feel the responsibility to contribute to this household.
Listen, first of all, I know the math of Melissa, because we started dating in 2000. And that's
yes, easy 2021,
21 year. I ain't got
there. You go.
God did that for you. He said,
"Boy, y'all ain't gonna listen." Now we got married in 2004. Now sometimes I got to carry that four is just an odd integer. But back to the point Melissa was making before I interrupted her for my joke. what were you saying?
I was like, he forgot. She always needs to contribute to the household.
Good. That was good, Dom.
Listen, Melissa does often to my detriment, but I'd be like, girl, I never even said you don't have to do this, because part of the reason I started dating Melissa is because she was independent. She was, you know, prior to her, the girls, they just flocked to me. I could tell they just want to be around. They just want to be on my arm. And I'm like, what do you bring to this relationship? We're in 10th grade. We're in 11th grade. What can you do for me? What can you do for yourself? What are your own ambitions and dreams? I don't want a whatever she like woman. I want Lisa from Queens. And and we're all athletes here. You know, we're all high performing athletes here. Yeah. And part of that athletic prowess, you know, because I met her, we was in, I was playing basketball, she was running track. But you know, she keeps that up with Noom. Noom is an amazing program that helps you stay in shape by getting together your exercise regimen and your eating regimen and working together. Think about everything you ever learned about getting healthy. That's a lot of contradictory information, guys. Like the old-fashioned food pyramid. I know you don't think about that, Dr. Harper Nelson.
Eat carbs. Don't eat carbs. Go to sleep, but stay awake.
Yeah. Keto, all that type of
keto,
stuff.
Keto, but don't do keto.
Listen, Noom helps people like me, highly trained, fine athletic specimens, stay in tip-top shape. You know, I got to keep this figure the way it goes.
Yes.
And I got specific goals that I want to achieve. I'm looking for a 9.8, 9.7 on the 100-meter dash. I'm looking for 44 on the open quarter. I'm looking for those
44?
44. You know, me and Michael Johnson, back when we were training down at Baylor, I said, Michael Johnson, you know, I'm gonna push you to be great, but I'm gonna go do comedy. You focus on track. And he was like, you know what, Kev? You do that. And listen,
he said, correct.
Whether your goals are specific as losing a certain amount of weight, or like mine, just looking better and feeling better in clothes.
Look good, feel good.
Look good, feel good, baby. Noom is there for you. And you know what? The most important thing is it's forgiving. I know I don't look it, but sometimes I slip. I have a cheat meal. Do I eat kale and broccoli every day? Guys, I'm a regular person. Of course, from time to time, I make a mistake. And Noom doesn't make me feel bad about it. It doesn't even demand much of my time. Only 10 minutes a day.
10 minutes.
Everybody can't be Don Harper Nelson training hour after hour after hour. Some of us only have 10 minutes before Chick-fil-A closes. Over 80% of Noomers finished the program, and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least 1 year. That's what we call ourselves, Noomers. Now listen, this guy. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, that's Noom.com/lovehour. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/lovehour. Ready to learn how to live healthier like me, Lissa, Don Harper, Nelson, and Alonzo? Do so at Noom, Noom.com/lovehour. And now back to this show.
You killed that, Kev.
But you know what? I just want to reiterate, Alonzo and Don, this shows you what can happen when you're not intimidated by your partner.
Yes.
When you are cool with letting your partner win, when you're securing yourself, you're securing your relationship, like all those things are why you guys can still be together while reaching your heights and stuff. And you know, I've been Melissa's biggest champion of like, girl, you're creative, girl, you can develop, girl, you can write, you can create, you can produce. She's like, I ain't no producer. All I know how to do is be very organized, make sure everything's done on time. Everybody knows about what time to be on set and make sure every project is available. But I'm no producer. I'm like, girl, what do you think a producer is if not everything you just did? You know, but sometimes Lovey said this on our book, on her book. Sometimes we have to lend out courage to those who don't have it yet but need it. And I think oftentimes when your spouse, like, and it goes both ways. I remember when I was doing my special, and even after that, like, although I come across very confident, and I am, just like any other creative, I often have my doubts. And my wife will be like, Kev, like, I'm getting ready to go back on tour. And I'd be like, man, am I funny? Am I this? Am I that? And she'd be like, you're good. You got it. You got this. Trust this. Work on this. You know what I'm saying? Like, and to the audience, I've got to be Kev on stage, you know, conqueror, physical specimen. But to Melissa, I can be like, am I funny? Is this, how does this joke work? What do you think about this? And she'll be, you know what I'm saying? And she's not intimidated by that thing. And I think when you are in one with each other, everything else is easy. All your other business dealings are easy. All the other stuff is early. And if you're not working together, it'll affect your performance, no matter what you do. If you run, Don, if you got stress on your mind, you and Lonzo ain't vibing, it's gonna affect how you perform. Yeah, and I think you guys have found a way to work that out. And I wanna go to the Olympics too and watch you. One of my dreams, I wanna go to the Olympics.
That's true.
Just me and Melissa love track. We both watch track meets. We even watched on NBC, they have the track, you know, like the, in Europe, I mean, you guys know, but in Europe, track is like,
I don't know if y'all know.
But we watch track, but I would go to the Olympics and watch it. I'd be in there like
Beyonce.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, so for me, one thing that I think about, you know, I enjoy telling our story because I just want people to understand that it's like, it's possible to be genuinely happy. It's possible to find that person that will support you, you can grow with. Because, I mean, you know, now I get, you know, some single friends that's like, girl, I'm like, listen, I'm your friend, right? I don't see you accept nonsense. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's the standards that you have for yourself and then understand I'm going to stick with that. You got to bring something to the table. Don't come with your not. Like, you know, there's certain things that no one's going to be perfect, but there's just certain things that you can't be requiring this from somebody, but you coming with this, you know? But I love just to have people understand, like, I promise it's possible to not just be happy on social media and then we get done and I'm like, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, it's
possible. You see, that mean it don't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wait.
You know, but it's like, it's honest to God possible, you know?
Yeah, that's real too, because I remember in 2011, right before I was at a prayer breakfast at my church. Yeah. And no, the day before.
Prayer breakfast?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I didn't finish the prayer breakfast in my day. I didn't know we still did the prayer breakfast.
They're usually on Saturday morning. Yeah.
The night before, I told myself, man, maybe I'ma just lower my standards and I'ma just go ahead and just give up, right? That morning at the prayer breakfast, one of the bishop's sons spoke about how God gave him exactly what he wanted, right? And how he was praying and believing for this type of woman. And, you know, he was just, you know, doing his work. And God gave him exactly that person. And so when I heard that, I was like, you know what? Okay, thank you. That was for me. And so this happened around August. Dawn pops up in October, and like the rest is history, you know what I mean? And it's so amazing because I had my own dream. I had my mission. Like, look, if I'm single at 30, I'm going to just adopt me somebody and just give my love to that baby. And I'm just going to be the most eligible bachelor, you know, but you know, I always, I love kids. Love kids. Yeah. Really, when I was in elementary school, I wanted 5. I didn't think about being married or nothing. I just know I wanted 5 kids.
Which is crazy.
Kids.
I was like, these baby mamas.
But like,
you just got 5 with.
My mama wasn't gonna allow me to just like, I was gonna be married to whoever had the babies, but that wasn't in my equation. The kids was in my equation. But yeah, I always wanted kids. I love kids. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that. I always think it's so funny that on the Married at First Sight show we were watching or are watching, the guy Benson on there. You guys watch it? Girl.
We be in the rabbit hole.
Yep, I'm gonna keep it there, yep.
Every couple is on my nervous system. Every single couple at some point tap dances on every nerve in my body.
If this boy don't stop crying.
Shut up.
Oh, Benson.
No.
Chris.
This ain't crying. This ain't crying, Lonzo.
That's not crying.
Right.
You ain't crying, bro. Stop.
Right.
Like, you created all of it. You go, what you crying for when you the one?
Exactly.
What is this? The my own action?
Exactly. That you and I need to be accountable? I did not sign up for this.
Like, let me say this part really quick. Something I think is interesting. You know how you say your vows, and people are like the girl on the show. She's like, you know, God doesn't put more on you than you can bear. And I remember I literally had a moment before where I said, wait, I don't think God told me to enter this. That's why I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed because God didn't put this on me. Like, I think so many times we say, like, you know, I mean, except God doesn't put, did he tell you to enter that situation?
Uh-huh.
Good God. No,
oh, I'm just saying, you better.
First of all, that's good.
That is good.
Because that is so good.
That is so true.
We find ourselves in these situations God didn't design, and then we stay longer because we believe God was there to begin with.
And you walked over there and
your GPS was telling you to turn left.
Hey. It was like, it kept saying stop. It kept correcting you. He was like, but you know, more than I can bear, he don't do that. Right.
Corvette.
Right. She said, but you know more than I can bear. Girl, ain't nobody told you to be over here. Bear none of this.
And that be the part.
Turn around.
Man, when you ain't meant to bear it, it'd be heavy.
And you'd be exhausted. Your edges be gone. Your face be breaking out.
I love it.
My God wants us to have cliff skin.
Amen.
We want our hair to be flourishing. Okay. He want our cholesterol down. That's abundant living. We become. We think abundant living is designer brands. No. Designer living is full edges and
empty ball.
just saying.
That's abundant.
Get them all sheep.
Come on, Tunia. Get it. Come on. Okay.
I was gonna say nothing.
Oh, I thought you had something to say. Yeah. I think there was a point to all of this. I don't know how we got here.
Right.
Y'all hush. Y'all
vows. You was talking about vows and what God, God put.
Yeah, that part. Put on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel like we. Right.
We went married at first sight.
Right? Yeah, we did.
Yeah. First sight through it. Once we got on y'all's stand, it threw everything off.
I feel like we got a point with married at first sight, but yeah, I can't remember. So whatever. It was still a good word. Right.
No,
it was not me.
It was a rabbit hole. It was just a rabbit hole.
It was a rabbit hole. Maybe it was.
The way out. Next question.
Okay, so listen, I ain't got nothing else. Maybe
I ain't got nothing else either.
First of all, you guys are a blast. Just a ton of fun.
Y'all would be good game night. Y'all would be good at a game night. I feel like y'all would be a great addition. And that's how I hang out with somebody. If I feel like they'll add to a game night and people will get along with them, that's premium coolness.
We just had a game night. It was fun.
Absolutely.
I know. You want to tell the game night story?
So just listen. Do y'all play Uno?
Yes.
Oh, not that.
I wanted to kick people out of my house. I don't know if y'all play stacks. Like draw four. Yes. Okay, so like you guys draw four, you guys draw four, you guys.
Yes.
So a nice circle. I don't even know. This is before COVID. Nice circle. Y'all in my house.
She right next to me.
Yeah, he lived there too. But the way I got played, so it was like draw four. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, it was so many people. There was no way on God's green earth he was going to make it to me. Y'all, I was like, oh, lines up beside me. I'm like, nah. And I was like, I know my husband ain't going to do that. He was like, I had to draw. It was like 30. It was so ignorant. And I was like, I'm not playing. 30? Yeah. 30. I didn't even know if that means you draw fours in the deck. Y'all was like, I was like, your mama.
Yeah.
How about that? Everybody get out. Game night over. Hey,
y'all just stay here.
About these stupid cars.
Cool.
So just wanted to let y'all know it's possible to have to draw. It was 32 cars. But yeah, it was possible. So just keep people out. Whatever.
Oh yeah, for the math.
Yeah, because that's hysterical. We play staff for a while where you draw. You can only do like with like though. Draw fours on draw fours. You can't do a draw four on a two.
Yeah. Exactly. People be trying it. I'd be like, pick that up.
Hey, do y'all say no Uno? You got to draw two. If you don't say Uno,
Thank you.
No Uno, you got to draw two.
What about Uno out? Do you say Uno out too?
You have to say Uno out.
Why we got
to
do all this?
Yes.
I just said no Uno.
No.
I mean, Uno, if I put it down, I'm out.
You say Uno when you have one card and when you Uno out.
Always add rules up in the rules.
Those are the rules.
The game ain't never good enough for the black.
I knew y'all were good people, but this confirmed it. Y'all good people. Like, y'all good people.
Stamp.
Right.
Good people.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so Kev does have to go.
I got to go. I love y'all. Okay. I got another shoot. I appreciate y'all for rocking. This. The reason we're late, Melissa actually timed it right. I was making us late, but as a jerk, I'm going to leave. But Don, we're going to email you about the track thing. Lonzo, pleasure to meet you, brother. You're an amazing husband, Melissa.
Are you staying here or are you going to the studio?
I got to go to the studio.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Love you. Actually,
I can stay.
Oh,
well,
no,
we're about
no,
to close that.
I do.
Okay. 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 I got you. Okay. So I'm going to close out the episode as well. So can you tell the people where they can follow you on Instagram? I think you guys have a YouTube channel. They want to follow you and they like you and that kind of thing.
Yes. So my social media for Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is dhart. 100MH, dharp 100MH. And so.
And mine's is ZOEESL.
Yeah. And then our YouTube is The Real Nelsons.
It's The Real Nelsons.
Yeah.
Right.
The Real Nelsons.
And then our family IG is Real Nelsons,
where we
kind of chronicle.
Yeah, with
our daughter.
Yeah. She'll be two next week.
Oh, I love it. Thank you guys so much. When you guys are in LA, again, we're leaving, but when you guys are back in LA, we definitely need to like connect and make the things happen in life. Thank you guys to the stage crew. Thank you guys for listening and joining us for this episode. Until the next Love Hour. Bye. Yeah.